Let's change track now and talk a little bit about more some of the engaging things you can do with UWP apps. So here we are again with our big array of devices, all that we've got, from Raspberry Pis all the way through to futuristic stuff like the HoloLens. And you can create one app that will work across all of these different devices. But what we don't want you to do is create one app that kind of just barely is all right. You know, we're not looking for lowest common denominator. We want you to create a great experience that really shines on each of these devices, that is really appropriate and gives an appropriate user experience. So how do you actually do that? So at a high level, we're using all the universal controls in the UWP XAML control set, which have a lot of features that are built in that help you with this as well. Like they know, for example, they have this adaptive input. They know whether you are using mouse or whether you're using touch. And we also have this scaling algorithm, which really helps you as a designer. Because when you're creating a UI, you want it to look correct size on each different screen. But the correct size is a difficult thing to determine, and it really has a big impact on how close you are to the screen. If you hold a phone up, it's kind of, you know, just a few inches in front of your nose. If you're looking at a tablet, you're kind of out here. Desktop is a bit further. Xbox is across the living room, and Surface Hub more. So you get the idea. The viewing distance can change. So our scaling algorithm means that you can design using our logical effective pixel size. So you can design it once, and you can choose a font size for your text, and it's going to look right on all of the screens. You don't have to create a radically different UI for every different screen. It will scale automatically for you. And we also, but you know, that will go so far, but you also want to create UI that looks great and adapts nicely to sort of portrait a landscape or does different things on an Xbox. So we have, we've now really brought in with UWP the same adaptive layout techniques that web developers have been using for a while. So you can create a UI that triggers on the screen width, for example. Or you can also trigger on custom features through custom triggers you write your own, or on the device family, that kind of stuff. And we have great tooling in Visual Studio. In Blend and in Visual Studio, you can choose from all the different the design simulations, so you can see what your app's going to look like on a phone or on a big screen. So that's kind of the tooling and the background. We have a whole bunch of great new features in XAML as well, not just the whole platform. So really big investments that make a XAML developer life much easier. I'm going to show you some of those now. Okay, so let's start with, well, actually, we're going to stay in the same app, actually. So how many of you are XAML developers, work with XAML? About half the room. Okay, so let's just dock this over here. No, over here. Oh, not in the corner. Let's put it over on the right-hand side. And let's have Visual Studio over here. So this is my main screen. So let's go off and find the main page. So main page is what we're looking at here. And this is all the XAML. So maybe you want to change the layout. So XAML developers will know that this can be a fairly tedious exercise. You kind of have to work in the designers. You try it out, and then you stop it, and you make some changes, and then you run it again. It's time-consuming, isn't it? Okay. Well, okay, maybe you actually decided up here you want a little nice little graphic up here. So this is running. We're in the debugger. Let's actually, we've got a little bit of XAML. Let's actually go and edit this on the fly. So we can change that and change that. Hey, look at that. Edit and continue in XAML. So this is a new feature, which is really going to help you if you're a XAML designer. So you're going to save loads of time because you don't have to come out and change it and go back in, try it out. You can just try stuff, change it right on the fly. You know, we can actually, let's try and change the margin to 150. So, you know, it just moves around the screen. You can try stuff out in real time. This is a new feature. I'm running here the next version of Visual Studio. So this is not Visual Studio 2015. It's the very confusingly named Visual Studio 15. which is its internal version number. So 15 is the next one that we're going to be releasing. And there's a whole bunch of great new tooling in here that's going to make life really great for you. We've got more stuff in here as well. Let's actually log into this site. When it goes up, we've got nice composition things, moving stuff around. And look, here's this menu here. Now, what's this little tooltip going over? M, what is this? R, S, and if I hit the Alt key, looks like this is accelerator keys. Now, as developers, we don't like mouse and things. We much like prefer to work with keyboard shortcuts. So that's been built in as well. Let's say have a look at how that is done. So let's go full screen on this now. So that is in, let's see, where we are, dashboard.xaml. Let's have a look at the XAML for that. And this is the one we were just working on there, the dashboard. And you see here we've got a whole bunch of new attributes. First of all, these buttons have all got an access key assigned to them. There you go, access key MRSF. This is all localizable, of course, as well. And there's an event that's been associated with this, access key display requested and access key display dismiss. So that's when you are, you're hitting the Alt button, the Alt key, and again to show and hide the access keys. So that's all in. That's pretty nice. And over in the, we've also got. If I go over to the code, view code for this, over here, you can see here the tooltips. This is how I did the tooltips in that. We just simply in this method we create tooltips for each of those buttons, and we set the placement on the to the right of each of the corresponding buttons, and then we set that tooltip onto the button. And then when the access key display requested event fired, then we're just simply showing those tooltips. So that's how that UI was achieved there. So that's pretty nice. That's a nice feature, access keys. That's coming on. That's been a big requested feature. So that's great. Now then, let's have a look at another feature on this. So here's this report thing. No, messages. Let's have a messages. Warsaw is awesome. And so I can send this message, and it goes into the list. I send it a few more times. And what you'll notice is we're going down the list, but as we now go to the list, the whole list is just scrolling up automatically. This also has been a much requested feature from people. This allows you to easily write these kind of chat sort of windows. Something was actually more difficult than it should have been in the past. So now we've got the ability to do that. And the way that is achieved is in messages.xaml. Really, really simple to get that kind of behavior. All we've got in here is we've got a list view. This is where those messages were being shown. So the item source is just the messages collection. So every time we're hitting add, we're adding an item into that collection. But in order to get that item up straight, updating, scrolling going on, all we did is we overrode the normal built-in items panel. So you wouldn't normally necessarily see this because normal behavior for a list view is fine. But if you want to have that items updating thing, you just simply override that by stating it in the XAML, defining a template to say what you're going to override it with. And this actually, a list view normally has an item stack panel, but this property is not normally set to be on. But what we're doing, just enabling items updating scroll mode, setting it to keep last item in view. That's how you do it. Really, really nice and simple. So that's a few UI enhancements we've got. Let's say, what else have we got in here? Report. So okay, this is like a sort of a reports screen, and you'll see that each of these, this is a list here, and each of these actually brings up some corresponding data from a data object. You see we get a very inspiring title there, energetically optimized cross-media products, rapidly extend orthogonal mindshare. Oh, dear me. But the interesting thing here is that we've got this figure here, and we've got these numbers here. Let's have a look at the code for that. First of all, this data here is coming from an object called report view model. Here's report view model. It's a standard view model object. It's got a bunch of properties on it. We've got a name property string. We've got a title property of string. But this is interesting. We've also got this thing called data, which is a dictionary. Now, this kind of thing is quite common in data objects, having some kind of collections. But it was difficult, really difficult, to data bind against this kind of data. You kind of had to do extra properties on your view models and write a lot of extra code, which you really don't want to have to do. So over in the the XAML for this, if we go to report.xaml, we're going to look at the data binding. Here's our stack panel. This is the data that's being put out. First of all, we got a text block that's bound to selected report.title. That was just a string. That's normal. But the second one, this is selected report.data. So this is data binding to that dictionary. And we're keying directly into that with the budget key. So we're pulling an item out of a dictionary directly from data binding. So again, that's been a much requested feature. So another thing that's going to make XAML developers' lives easier. It's another interesting thing. Look at the next line down. What's this? We're xbind to get formatted text, selected report. So what's happening here? Well, if we go and have a look at the code for this, the code behind, we can find get formatted text is a method in our code behind. So again, now we can data bind directly to methods as well. Really, really nice and clean. We're just making data binding much easier to work with, make it easier for you to create data-rich applications. So really, really cool stuff. And these are just some of the investments we're making in the XAML platform to make your lives easier. All right, next, let's have a look at the whole thing about making a great experience across different devices. We're looking specifically at the 10-foot experience, the Xbox, which is now, you can now create apps that run on your Xbox. There are a few things you have to think about when you're creating a UI for this. First of all, up until now, you might have built UWP apps where most people are interacting with touch or with mouse or with keyboard or touch keyboards. Well, obviously, with Xbox, it's all about the gamepad. So it's working a long way. So interaction is not as easy. So you might have to think about data entry and make sure that's as easy as possible. You also need to worry about visualizations and just check the XY focus. So you need to test. You can test a lot of your layouts in Visual Studio, but you need to obviously check on a real device as well. So all these kind of things are things. Now, I've got a simple example. Not going to go too deeply into this one. So this is this guy is this is the same Photo Booth Pro, but this has not been optimized at all for the Xbox. But it is our Photo Booth Pro, so this was kind of in progress. But I've got an Xbox controller here. Connected into this laptop, so we can actually test out what it would be like for this application on a particular Xbox. And it's the same one you've seen before, but on the whole, you can navigate around. The right sort of thing will happen. I can go through the different features here. We can go over there and then navigate up and down using the controller. So I'm using the controller here for all this kind of stuff, and then we can go off up here, And you can still use this. So I'm going off to the photo thing. And as I'm moving across, you cannot just hear, we've got the sounds turned on. So by default, focus on a control will, you get the Xbox sounds when it's running on Xbox. So normally sounds are set to auto. But when it's running on Xbox, you'll get the sounds. And if you're running the same app on desktop or phone, you won't hear the sounds. But you can actually turn it on. I've turned it on for this, which is why you can hear it. And you see, we've also got a bold focus rectangle, so that works for Xbox as well. And you can, in general, navigating around is kind of what you'd expect. So you can go up and down and left and right, and it will do the right thing. And with all Xbox UI, we've kind of just looked at the layout and tried to do the right thing. You can, of course, override that if you don't like what it's been automatically, the navigation, the kind of tab order, if you like, what it's set for you. You can change all of that. There's a few things you have to be careful about. So, if you think about this long list of our photos here, What if you want to get to that set size slider at the bottom? At the moment, the only way of getting there is actually to navigate all the way down through the list, and eventually you get there. Now, what if this was an infinite scrolling list? You'd never get there. So you might need to add a few little buttons and a few gamepad-specific features to allow you to do navigation. And another thing, now we're focused on that slider. What if we want to get to that reset button on the right? So, of course, I'm going to press the right thing on the gamepad, but what it's doing is actually moving the slider and not navigating out to that reset button. So, in fact, on Xbox, you can never get to that reset button at the moment. So there's a few things you need to do. We've actually programmed a few buttons here on this. So Y, for example, takes you up to the search effect text box at the top. And the menu button opens up the split view menu control on the left. But that's just a quick, mostly your apps will just work, but you need to test, you need to make sure, think about navigation, you need to make sure that when a user is using the controller, they can get at all the features in your application. So, the other thing we've done a lot of investment in with the anniversary edition is ink. And inking is one of those great features that we feel is a feature that's going to really become more and more dominant over the, not in the immediate term, but certainly in the medium term going longer. And the difference for that is we've got fantastic devices coming out and ones we got out on the market at the moment where inking really, really works. In the past, inking was not a great experience. We've been trying to do this with computing forever. Small PDAs I used to work on back in the thousands, they had styluses and other manufacturers had ones, but it was never a very good experience because you had that lag all the time. Well, we've really driven all that latency out. We've really invested into making a great inking experience, and it's really, really easy to do some stuff, like working with the new controls such as the ink canvas and the toolbar, but you can actually drill right down into the lower levels as well if you have need to do that. But it is really, really easy to add inking features to your applications, and I'm going to show you exactly how easy it is right now. So I'm going to just do a file, new project, blank app. Yeah, app 2's just great. For this feature, I'm going to need to be right up to date. So this machine's got a build 14.342 on it. So we need to make sure we got the low version and the up version is pointing solely at this build. And just building that application out. And when that is done, here we go. I'm just going to add inking support to it, just to show you how easy it is. So here's my UI. We've just got a grid. And the main control for this is actually something called the ink canvas. And we're just going to fill the whole region of this grid with an ink canvas. Anywhere you have an ink canvas is an area where you can add inking. Give it a name, because we're going to need to refer to it in just a moment. My ink canvas. And actually, that's all I need for that. So and then we've got this really nice new control called the ink toolbar, which allows you to easily control which kind of pen you're using. So it's an ink toolbar. And that has a target ink canvas property. And I'm going to X-bind that to the ink canvas. So all you need to do is kind of link the two together, which you can do programmatically or directly in XAML like this. So my ink canvas, let's have a vertical alignment of top. We're going to put this top right, and a horizontal alignment of right. And don't worry about the blue squiggles, still an early build, but now let's just run this application. And I've got my, so this is a Surface Book, I've got a nice pen here. So our application's going to come up. And there's our ink toolbar, so you can see I can, you know, I can choose to go changed color to this, and we can do some nice stuff like this. And it's really a really nice natural thing. I could pull the screen off and use it just as a tablet. And we can change to a different color, and we can actually change the size as well. You know, and so it's a lovely way of encouraging nice creative input and a different way for users to interact with computers. We also showed you the ruler. That is really, really cool. So one thing that's hard to do, of course, is straight lines, but I can use my fingers now, drag my ruler down and sort of move it around, and then anywhere the pen goes down, you get a nice straight line like this. So it's really, really cool doing precision stuff like that. You know, so you can see how nice that is. You can actually customize this toolbar as well. So really great to add, and really easy to add these kind of features to your application. So I'd really encourage you to sort of look at thinking about adding these to your next UWP apps. All right, so with that, I've just taken you through good new features of about building engaging experiences. So we sort of had a look at the what's new in XAML, some of the new tooling features like edit and continue, which are really exciting. And we looked briefly at the Xbox One, and we looked there at Windows Ink. And before that, of course, we were looking at the store and some of those other features. Right. Thanks very much for your attention. I really appreciate it. It's been real fun for me to be here. So thanks very much, and looking forward to getting your questions in the Q&A later on and meeting you at the reception this evening. Thanks very much for your attention. We're going to take a break now, so please go and enjoy some refreshments out there, and we'll see you back for the next session in a short while. Thank you very much.